I want to read two passages, both in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 3 through 8, then verses 18 through 23. Matthew 13, verses 3 through 8. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now for the interpretation of this parable in our Lord's own words, may we go to the 18th verse of this same chapter 13. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and he catcheth away that which was sown into his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, immediately he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, again, Lord, we have bowed our heads. Help us that our hearts may be humbled, our wills submissive, our lives, our all, dedicated to Thee. And hear us as we make our separate prayers, and hear us as we pray that You might use our lives, and that You might use our service, and that You might make us happy in that use. And to that end, Father, we pray that You will bless the message this morning, that the Word of God might be preached, that the Lord Jesus might be exalted, that we might be helped and benefited, that we might be challenged, that we might be encouraged, and that we might go forth from this place having been blessed to be a blessing to the world in which we minister. For we do pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. I do not intend to make any attempt whatsoever to say anything startling or new. I hear very little of that which is new, and I'm suspicious of all that I hear. I have reached the place in my life and in my ministry where the old truths, and maybe a few of the truths that I kind of snickered at or smiled at a few years ago, are increasingly precious to me. And in that vein of thought, I want to talk to you about the parable of the sower. And I want to use as my subject the following. It is the soil and not the sower or the seed which determines production. And I want us to go back and review briefly the essential elements of this parable. The parable says, the Lord says, that a sower, any sower, any husbandman, any tiller of the soil, without regard to who, where, or so forth, went forth to do his business. His business being to sow the seed. Now we're told that the seed that the sower sowed was the word. And the sower sowed the seed. And the seed fell upon the soil. And yet something happened. Something curious happened. If you're curious at all, something curious happened. The production ranged all the way from zero, that which fell from the way on the wayside, to 100-fold. Now, obviously, we have here two constants. The sower is constant. And I might say this to you. This is rather sobering, because you have probably gotten the impression, having been made over much as young preachers, that you are important, that you amount to something, that you count greatly in God's scheme of things. But according to the fair implication of this parable, assuming basic integrity, assuming common ability, and so forth, one sower will do just as well as the other. And that kind of relegates you to the unimportant and me to the unimportant. A sower, any sower, went forth to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God, and that is the second constant. The only variable that the Lord used in this parable is the soil. And so I conclude that when it comes to production, to the production that we are interested in, that it is the soil and not the sower or the seed which determines production. And furthermore, my brethren, I think we do ourselves and our cause an injustice if we say that this only matters in the pulpit, that this only counts if we are having church, that this is of no practical application to Missionary Baptist Seminary and Institute. I could not disagree more. In many classes this morning, already, a certain man, a certain sower, has already gone forth and sowed or distributed the word of God. After all, that's what we do here. I've also come to realize that if our core curriculum is not Bible related, we don't need it. If this subject or that subject does not help me and help you to interpret, to rightly divide and properly apply the word of God, we don't need it. So, sowers, men of God, divinely called, to this ministry and this task have already sown the Word of God today. Not only today, but we've been doing it since the month of August. Now here's the point that I want to drive toward. Whether or not you are a student depends largely upon you and the kind of soil that you present, the kind of attitude, the kind of soil, as it were, that you bring to this class, or that you bring to this service, or that you take to the pulpit and the church where you preach. Now, whether or not you succeed in this endeavor, for the most part, depends on you. Because this parable teaches, and I verily believe, that when we're dealing with the Word of God, that it is the soil and not the seed or the sower that determines the production. In the first instance, the Lord said that some of the seed fell by the wayside. And by, they were gone. By and by, the Lord said, the wicked one came and quickly snatched them away. Now, of course, I see this application, and you do too. Service after Sunday, service Wednesday night after Wednesday night, and Sunday morning and Sunday night upon Sunday morning and Sunday night. Our people bring hearts that are literally as hard as the highway. That's what I understand the wayside meant. Literally as hard as Interstate 30. They bring that kind of attitude to the Lord's house. And as Brother Owen said a moment ago, they say, here I am, preacher, you got 45 minutes. Warm me up, thaw me out. They expect you to do in 30 minutes that which has taken a lifetime to accomplish. The Word of God falls upon their heads. It beats about their ears, but it never enters into their hearts, because their hearts are entirely too hard to benefit very much, if at all, from a service such as they're experiencing. It was Paul in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, who told us what it's all about and told us why this type of person gets nothing from the service. He gets nothing from the spiritual life. He doesn't know what the spiritual life is. It means nothing to him, because it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, stony soil, or rather wayside soil, is simply too hard for production. And yet, I cannot just say that about the people who sit in the pew and leave it at that. Because year after year, sitting behind the teacher's desk, and I remember I had some of this when I was a student. And worst thing that ever happened to me, to make me heady and high-minded was that period of time that Brother Owen was referring to when I was a student hyphen teacher. And I don't know what that is. I think really a person is both a student and a teacher all time. But in any case, year after year since 1962, I've sat behind the teacher's desk, and I've seen people enter school with the attitude that this place needs help, and I'm here to help it. This place needs reformation, and I'm here to reform it. These teachers themselves have need that they should be taught, and I'm here to teach them. And that hurts, not because I'm anything and not because these teachers are anything, but because if you bring that kind of heart and that kind of an attitude into the classroom, then you're not going to get much out of school. Because the fact is simply this, that wayside soil, that seed which falls upon the hard heart, is simply wasted, because that soil is too hard for production. And Jesus said that by and by, it's all gone. I've met students who'd been out of school for many years who weren't preaching. They were doing any number of things. They were selling insurance. They were doing this. They were doing that. They were doing most everything but preaching. What had happened? I believe that in many instances they came with the wrong attitude. They came with a heart-hardened attitude toward the school and toward the entire learning process. And I would say to you, in all sincerity, if you know more than the faculty does, there's very little that we can do to teach you. If you have a bad attitude toward the school, if your heart is hardened toward the school, then you'll not profit very much from it. Well, secondly, the Lord said that some seed fell upon the stony soil. Just as too frequently the Word of God falls upon stony hearts. Now, what did Jesus say? He said some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. Brother Penn and I are familiar with soil up in the Lawrence County that we say is too poor to do anything but sprout peas. And that's thin when all it's good for is to, quote, sprout peas, unquote, but they do sprout. And they do come up quickly. And they do flourish. And so did the Lord say of those upon whom the seed fell that he characterized as stony soil. The word fell not upon hard hearts, not upon solid rock, if you please, but simply upon stony soil. And the seed quickly germinated, it quickly sprouted and sprang up. And every one of us will recognize this individual when he is pointed out to us. In fact, we usually recognize quite a bit of ourselves in the individual when he is pointed out to us. He's that fella that one day, in a passion of enthusiasm, said, "Lord, just lead the way. If it's across the sea, across the country, or straight up into outer space, just lead the way. I'll go with you anywhere." Jesus said, "Well, now, before you do, think about it. If you're going up there, the birds of the air have got their place. If you're going down here, the foxes have got their dens. But up there or down here, the Son of Man hadn't got a place to lay his head. Now, boy, if you want to follow me under those conditions, let's go." Well, it's not written what that young man did, and I suppose we can believe anything we want to about what he did. But I think the safe assumption is that the Lord never saw him again, and that he was almost choked in the heel dust as the young man left the premises. I think you could say that. What had happened? The commitment that he had made was entirely too shallow to last. It did not go down deep. It was a surface commitment. This was the kind of man who came leaping and left limping when the Lord told him what it was all about. With joy, he received the word. Much as you and I might go into a place of merchandise, and we might inquire of a salesperson concerning a particular item, and he might say, "It has this feature, and it's got this gadget, and here's the very latest, and there's not one like it anywhere else." And we might say, "My, how marvelous, how good. I want one." And he says, "Fine. Cost you X dollars, and that's more than we either want to pay or can pay." And we sort of hem, haw, and stutter a little and say, "Well, I believe I'll look somewhere else. I may be back." "Well, can we save it for you?" "No." "Would you want to put a deposit down to hold it?" "No, but I may be back." Now, that's the way so many of us have approached our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with God's Word. That's marvelous. That's splendid. That's wonderful. What does it cost? It costs a commitment. It doesn't cost dollars. It costs you. It costs your life. Well, I hadn't counted on that. It really cost me my whole life, will it? You mean if I really do this, not everybody's going to love me? Do you mean if I really do this, some people may be offended at me? I hadn't counted on that. I'll look around a little farther, and I may be back. To Shiloh is our commitment to really and truly stand the test. I'm a farm boy. I know about farm things. I do not know about machinery. I do not understand machinery. I do not even like machinery. I do not respect machinery. My illustrations come from the farm. I understand morning glories. And now some of you that's kind of looking the other way, now you know what morning glories are also. You've lived in town a long time. You try and live it down, but you know what morning glories are. They're these little flowers, and they are beautiful. And they grow as noxious weeds right on the surface of the soil. And they grow right in the wrong place. If they were anywhere else, they would be ornaments. But in the crop, in the soybeans, in the cotton, in the peanuts or what have you, they are weeds. And how many times I've gone through a cotton row with a hoe and just tapped a morning glory vine just right at the base, right at the root, right on the top of the grain. You would have thought that that thing was a thing of beauty and that it would endure as a joy forever. Tap it with the hoe and go on about your business. Pass back on the next round, it's already withered. By noon, it's already gone. And that's why they're called morning glories, I suppose. Now, as I said, I don't claim to be an example. But I started preaching in 1957. A lot of people that got faster starts have already got through. I guess that's the reason I'm slow. But I'm still here. And if I may be ungrammatical for the sake of emphasis, a lot of them ain't, that were here in 1957. Reminds me of the story of the old New England couple. They decided on their 50th anniversary they'd go for a buggy ride again, just for old time's sake, just to recreate an atmosphere. And they were riding along through the countryside on the evening of their 50th wedding anniversary. Husband and father was sitting over here with the reins in his hands. Wife was sitting way off over on the other side. And all of a sudden, wife said, "Don't you wish that we still sat close together in the buggy like we did 50 years ago?" Long silence, as only a New Englander can make. And then a voice came from the driver's side that said, "I ain't moved." I won't tell you. I won't tell you if the seed, as it falls upon a stony place, and you cry out sometime, somewhere, for a better relationship with the Lord. If your ministry has reduced itself to morning glories, I won't tell you the Lord hasn't moved. It's just a matter that stony soil is just too shallow for very much production. And then the Lord said that some of the seed fell among thorny soil, or fell among thorns. Remember this. The Lord taught. This parable, if it teaches anything, teaches that the Word of God falls upon you as you are. If by some chance you might be sitting out there this morning as an unsaved person, then the Word of God falls upon you as you are. If you're cold, then the Word of God just falls upon a cold heart, because it just falls on the soil as it is. If you're backslidden, the Word just falls on a backslider's heart, because it falls on the soil as it is. I remember one time, and I'm about to be turned out of the church for this. This is not only the first time that I've been invited to speak in chapel in a long time. This is probably the last time for a long time. And I want you to make the most of it. But what I'm about to say is that one time I participated in what many of you would regard as a most sinful act, unless you happen to have roots in the state of Kentucky, and then you'll understand it. But my father and I decided that it'd be a good idea, just for the fun of it, to raise a tobacco crop, just to see how tobacco grew. We were always doing things like that. We were always experimenting with different crops and different things, and my dad told me how they used to raise tobacco, and I thought I'd like to do that. So we got us some seed, and we proceeded to raise the plants and set the plants out in a tobacco bed and raise a tobacco crop. I noticed one thing my father did. Before we made the bed, we literally burned the soil. I was curious about that. I asked him why. And he said, because when you have done the best that you can, when you have made the soil as pure as you possibly can, you'll still have weeds and roots and other things to contend with that you don't want to contend with. So get rid of as many of the weeds, the roots, the leaves, the trash, everything else that you possibly can. I've thought about that much in relationship to this parable. When you have done the best that you possibly can to prepare the soil to receive the word, when the soil is in the best condition that it can possibly be made, my friend, there's still going to be some thorn roots and some grass seed left. And you remember the Word of God. Just like the cotton seed, the soybean seed, or whatever, the wheat, or whatever, the Word of God, as the sower goes forth to sow, falls upon the soil as it is, and not as the preacher would like it to be, certainly, but it just falls on it as it is. What I'm saying to you is that even seed in good soil does not ensure a great harvest. Those who would produce must also cultivate, because those thorns And those weeds take up the fertilizer, the oxygen, the air, the space even, that ought to be used for production. So those who do not cultivate do not produce. So you're here. You've announced a call to preach. You have come to school. In many cases, you're pastoring churches. You are well begun. My friend, you're doing well. I'm proud of you. Proud to know you. Proud to be acquainted with you. Proud to salute you. Proud to call you my brother in Christ and in the work. But that still does not eliminate the need for cultivation. And every child of God, I started to say, including preachers, but I want to be a little more emphatic, and I want to say every child of God, especially ministers, must pay particular attention to two noxious weeds that the Lord mentioned. There is, number one, the care of this world, or the cares, the anxieties, the worries, the frets of this age. And this is a more fretful age than ever before, with more stresses, more aggravations, more nuisances. I admit that I have a terrible temper. But I can remember when I only got mad on an average of once a month. Now I can't remember when I'm not mad. I can't recall the last time that I greeted the world with a pleasant expression. Why? Well, it's not altogether my fault. Some of it may be, but part of it is the stress of the age. I'll grant you that I'm not trying as hard to get along with the world as I could be, but I also insist the world has got some responsibility in getting along with me. And you know what I'm talking about. It's just there, just more stress. There are more cares of this world or this age that we need to tend to, because they're noxious weeds and they need cultivation. And then there is the deceitfulness of riches. That's a noxious weed that we're going to have to uproot if we ever amount to anything in this life, and unless we want to hide in the back row and make it take just as long as possible at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I've always thought that the judgment seat of Christ would be the very opposite of the chow line or the line to get coffee or candy downstairs. You know, there's almost a pushing and a shoving to get in front. In this life, there is a pushing and a search for advantage that makes us drive instinctively. We don't have to be taught to go to the head of the line. Our instincts favor it. But in my mind's eye, I see the judgment seat of Christ and just a whole plane of very polite people after you. And would you like to go first? please, I know you're tired. You've been waiting a long time. Feel free to go ahead. Now, a lot of us We're going to make that thing take just as long as it will take. I don't know how long that'll be, but we're going to be like a defense lawyer. When the prosecutor starts saying, do you want a speedy trial? No, I'm in no hurry. Get to me year after next if you want to. No, just whenever you like. Well, now, my friend, it's either deal with this weed or it is dread, and with good reason, the judgment seat of Christ. Because the Lord said, well, he mentioned two noxious weeds that caused the thorny soil not to produce. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And when we say riches, everybody, pardon me, everybody thinks of money. And certainly that's one form of riches. But the deceitfulness of riches, while it might be well to commence with the subject of mammon, certainly does not end there. The deceitfulness of riches carries with it the notion that if I had this, I'd be happy. If Brother Owen would just ask me to preach in chapel sometime, I'd be happy. You see, I'll talk about me because I would offend you. But if I had the recognition, if I was rich in the recognition that I so richly deserve, I'd be happy. Now, the reason that I know that you are deeply offended because you're never called on to pray at the associational meeting is because I've been there, because I've been deeply hurt. And finally, I just decided that they couldn't stop me from praying. Now, they didn't have to let me have a microphone, but they couldn't stop me from praying, you see. What I'm talking about is we've got a notion that if we were rich in recognition, if we were rich in other men's praise, if we were rich in power, if we had the big church or the big pulpit or the big position, or if we were rich in this or in that, and it might be money, I pity the person who hungers and thirsts after money and expects to be filled around here or in missionary Baptist churches. I sure do. You know, if you stay here long enough, we'll have a heresy hunt. And if you're here long enough, you'll get to be in on it. And that's more fun than nearly anything we have at the Missionary Baptist Seminary, is when somebody's accused of teaching heresy. That's lively. But it's always, I've just sit in utter astonishment when that happens. So I want to ask, what's a heretic doing here? Well, must be for the money. You think so? Now let me tell you something about my brethren here. And they don't have to vouch for me. I'd been here several years before they allowed me to teach a Bible course of any kind. But let me tell you about these brethren. In the first place, they're not heretics. And second place, if they were, I don't know what on earth they'd be doing here. Because any of them, in terms of lucre, filthy, or otherwise, could have done much, much better in most any line of endeavor that I can think of. So when I'm talking to missionary Baptist preachers about the deceitfulness of riches, I think we're talking about something else other than money. Because people that wouldn't sell out for money will sell out and make shipwreck of their ministry for praise, recognition, power, glory, You know, even make a god out of the sacrifice that they make in order to put themselves in the position that they think they want to be. And that's what the Lord was talking about when he said, there are two weeds you better tend to, my brother, if you want to produce. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And then lastly, seed found its way into good soil and it produced some 60, some 100-fold, but it did produce. And I've thought about good soil. And I've decided that good soil is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You say, where is the Lord this morning? Well, don't think me facetious, but I hope he's here. And I know he is. If there is a person here this morning with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, Psalm 34 and 18. If there's a person here who is sorry for his sin, it may be the sin of the hard heart, the sin of the bad attitude, the sin of craving after the deceitfulness of riches, the sin of not tending the garden. But the Lord is close by. Those of us who are sorry for their sins, and I don't know any way to say it other than just the way I feel it and the way I believe it is, that to be sorry for our sins to me means to be ashamed of them. To be ashamed of them means, first of all, to recognize that we are sinners. Here we are, the good, the bad, the indifferent, but none of us what we ought to be. And that's good soil. That's teachable soil. The soil of the broken heart. And it's one. Good soil is prepared soil. It's prepared by deep plowing. That means that one has really counted the cost. And you've said, self, do you really want to do this? Self, is this really what we want to do? And self answers back, I know it is. It is what we want to do. I know what it'll cost us. I know what we're in for, but it's what we want to do. And it's cultivated soil. Not only broken, but plowed. Not only broken and plowed, but cultivated. Because it was, my friend, the greatest example of a Christian who ever walked this earth, the Apostle Paul, who said, I keep under my body, that is, I keep myself in control and under control, lest when I preach to others, I should become a castaway. So, good soil is broken, plowed, and cultivated. Now I ask you, and then I'm through, as I said in the beginning, it is the soil and not the sower or the seed that determines production. Now in the privacy of your own heart, you answer this question. Where did the seed fall this morning? Did it fall, God forbid, on stony soil? Did it fall on hard soil? Did it fall by the wayside, in other words? Did it fall among the thorns? Or did it fall upon good soil? And you remember for the rest of your life, when you have forgotten the message and the messenger, you remember the Christ who spoke the parable. And remember this, it's the soil, not the sower, and not the seed that determines production. May the Lord bless you and your work for His dear cause.